Good evening and welcome to the BBS Talk Radio Show for a Beautiful You, where we will celebrate the success of men and women presented to you by the award-winning Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauty's National Pageant. Now here's your host, Our Lady Di.
Welcome to the BBS Talk Radio for a Beautiful You. We are so happy to have you with us tonight. And we have a very special guest online with us tonight. His name is Marcin, and he's a wonderful videographer. Marcin, I don't want to ruin your last name, so pronounce your last name for me.
Hi, Diane. Thank you so much for the invite to appear on your show. It's great to be here. My last name is Worzik, Marcin Worzik.
Worzik. See, I wanted him to do that because I'm terrible at butchering names. So, and a lot of the listeners, our friends of mine, know that. I usually go by everybody's first name. Anyway,
well,
Go ahead, Marcin.
I was just going to say that my name especially is tough because I come from a Polish family, so it has about 20 you know, letters and characters, so everybody that looks at my last name goes, oh, I don't know what to do with this one, so, but yeah, I just go with Worzik, and that seems to be the simplest way to go.
Well, Marcin is an excellent and very talented videographer. Actually, tonight we're going to speak about videography and the work of a true professional is how I look at Marcin. I've worked with him before. He's done work for me. I've seen his work. I see what he's done. And we're going to talk about him tonight, talk about how videography has changed over the years and what we expect to see for the future. So, Marcin, you know, when I look at your resume, you have like 4 pages of information here. So we can talk on and on more than an hour about what you do. But, you know, I want to start out with mainly how you got started and why you decided to go into this profession.
Okay, well, let's talk about how I got started. Well, it all started in my childhood, I think. I was the type of kid who was always curious about everything. I wanted to know how planes fly, how appliances work. One time, I was watching Mr. Rogers, and I grabbed a screwdriver, and I attempted to open up the TV to see how the image was being formed. Fortunately, my mother stopped me before I blew something up. But what also really interested me were visual effects in movies. How does E.T. fly over the moon? How is one of my favorite films as a kid growing up was Mary Poppins. And I always wondered, how is Mary Poppins able to pull out an entire floor lamp out of her purse? Stuff like that was really intriguing me as a kid. Then in 1992, my little brother was born, and my mother bought a camcorder. And that was a lot of fun for me. That was the ultimate toy for me. I was always pretty shy as a kid, very introverted. I kept to myself a lot. And creating little movies allowed me to express myself and develop my creativity, and to kind of create my own little worlds. And it also allowed me to shape those worlds as well. And that got me into not just the mechanics of film, but also the psychology of filmmaking. Because it's pretty cool to make someone feel something because of an idea that's presented on film. So that's pretty much how I got started in that.
And so you've really come a long way because you've done a lot of things since, you know, having a little video camera when you were a small young man to what you've become now. And we're going to go into that as far as how you progressed on. Now, you had to get some college education to do this. And we want to let the, you know, the listeners know that you graduated with honors from Columbia College in Chicago. And you do have a bachelor's degree in film and video production, major in cinematography. Okay.
Yes.
So give us a little bit a background about cinematography and why you selected to major in that.
Okay, well, let's first define what a cinematographer is. Let's see here. I'm a cinematographer. I'm also a videographer. I've also done some producing and directing as well. Now, when you see a movie in a theater or wherever, the cinematographer, also called the DP, which stands for Director of Photography, is responsible for the entire image or what you see on the screen. Everything from lighting, lenses, camera movement, film stocks, the entire look and feel of the picture, that is all the DP's responsibility to make sure that the director's vision is properly put on film. Now, there are two systems that go along with that. One is technical. The image has to be properly exposed. It has to be in focus. There has to be coverage, so the editor has something to work with. And as a DP, I'm also the manager of the camera and the lighting department. So all of the gaffers and grips and assistants, and if you ever watch the end credits to a movie, you see all of these people. All of those people in my department, they all report to me. Now the other side is where the creativity and artistry come in. Every documentary, every movie, every story, every scene has a certain amount of subtext. My job is to film that subtext through lighting, color, camera movement, all sorts of techie things to bring out that emotion from a character or idea, so the audience can feel that character or that idea on a deeper level, on a level that sometimes is subconscious, so they don't even know how it's being done, that they're feeling a certain way. And so that is my job. And I've always had a passion for it. As you said, I went to film school. I went to film school right after high school. I graduated Columbia College with a degree in film and video cinematography. Some people don't go to school for it. They may have a background in still photography or painting or lighting, and that serves as a transition into this field. Some people are born into it. Their family may be involved in movies or television. They may be in the union. And in that situation, an apprenticeship system takes effect in which the father or mother basically teaches the trade craft to their son or daughter and then uses them as free labor to get a lot of experience.
But would you recommend schooling to an up-and-coming videographer, somebody that's just starting out, not sure what direction they want to go with it? What advice would you give them on where to go and how to get started and what they need to know?
I would recommend going to school for it. There is a lot to film school that builds a certain sense of community. So film school, even though my major is in cinematography, I had to take everything from writing to producing to directing to acting. I took two courses in editing. So even if an up and coming videographer doesn't know exactly what he wants to do, film school will give him an opportunity to kind of discover that. And so he'll be able to get a small taste of everything. And then if he does find something that he wants to go into, because this is such a vast world. The whole world of video is such a vast world. It's never a one-man band. There's always a huge team. It's really a sense of teamwork that puts a production together. It's never just one person. There's so many people behind the scenes to that collaboratively create something, that there's always something that can be found, and film school is a great way to kind of introduce that person to what it's like, how it's like, what is really involved with it, and also to start to develop a sense of collaboration. So yeah, I would definitely recommend going to school for it. But as I said before, it's not necessary. Many of the world's greatest directors never really went to film school. A lot of the greatest DPs, they never really went to film school either. So it really depends on the individual person. But if there is an up-and-coming, yeah, I would definitely look into that. I would be proactive in investigating the school just to get an idea of what it's like. It's never good to rush into anything. So pre-production is absolutely necessary, not just in film production, but also in choosing what school to go to. There are many film schools across the country. There's a couple here in Chicago. There's obviously a lot of good ones in LA and Florida, as well as in Europe. So there's different avenues to getting there, and it all depends on the person and what it is that they really want to do.
How many years is schooling typically?
Well, it's not just film school. I went to college, so I have a bachelor's in film and video, but I also took courses in science and chemistry and math. So it's not just a trade craft school for film. I went to Columbia College, and that's the way that they do things. There are certain other institutions that once you get done with the gen ed, things to get a degree from college, you can also enter an institution that only focuses on film. And so I went to school for 4.5 years. The reason why that extra half is there is that I didn't take any courses during the summer. So I gave myself a lot of work to do, and I was very busy during those 4.5 years. But for me, I went to college for close to four and a half years. It was actually closer to 4 than 4.5, but it still went past the 4-year mark. So I entered college in 98, close to the end of 98, and I graduated in 2003. And that's the decision that I made. Other people take the same route, others don't. Some people go to other schools to only get their degree in film, and some people don't go to school at all. It all depends on where you are, how much time and money you're willing to invest into it. And but yeah, there are many different ideas and variables, and it's really all up to the person.
Well, we're going to continue to speak with Marcin about what projects he is most proud of, his upcoming projects, the things that he has done with videography, the future of videography, what to expect, and we're going to talk with Marcin more right after this commercial break.
Have you ever wanted to compete in a pageant system that focuses in on your self-esteem and positive attributes? Have you accomplished something successful in your life and want to tell the world? Then you've come to the right place. The award-winning Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauty's pageant is looking for you. The national pageant will take place next July 2009 in Illinois, where women from all over the United States will vie for the coveted title. For more information, please visit the website at usbeautiespageant.com. The Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauty's National Pageant, celebrating the success of the modern woman. We are looking for corporate and business sponsors for the award-winning Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauty's National Pageant. Premium sponsor packages are available for those who would like to sponsor a beautiful pageant system that celebrates the success of the modern woman. For more information, please visit the Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauty's National Pageant website at www.usbeautypageant.com.
Welcome. We are back with Marcin, our wonderful videographer, the work of a true professional. And you know, listeners, he really is a true professional. I mean, I worked with him, and we got nothing but praise, Marcin, from our staff when we did work with you on a production we had this past March. They're telling me how true professional you are to work with and how easygoing you are, how talented. And it makes for camaraderie among everybody. So I just wanted to let you know how everybody felt about you.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
And, you know, we're working with Marcin in July with an upcoming project. So, I mean, it's pretty big. And we'll be, you know, giving our news when we finalize it. But Marcin's going to be playing a big active role for us. And for that, we are very, very happy to have him with us.
Well, thank you. Now, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We want to go back to schooling. We were talking about up-and-coming videographers. What advice would you give to men and women? Because I believe there's women involved in this, too. I would think so.
Absolutely.
Advice on what they would need to do to become successful in this profession.
Mm-hmm. Women are very important in this profession, actually, because they have a perspective that is sometimes that men simply lack. Having a woman, either a woman as a director or as a DP, it is certainly a very, very good thing, because a lot of movies out these days and the documentaries, it's not just a technical thing, but as I talked about before, there's a whole art to it, and just the difference between a man and a woman. A woman is going to have a certain take on certain issues and ideas that men simply wouldn't do it quite the same way. So it's definitely important to keep that going and to keep that alive, because we need new ideas. We need new, fresh ideas that may not necessarily be expressed just by men all the time. So that is very important. In terms of advice, well, first of all, shoot as much as you can. It doesn't matter what you're shooting at first. Just keep shooting, because if you're shooting, you're also learning. And even the world's best cinematographers are always learning, because every experience you have working on a set or on a show or any of that, it helps you to fine-tune your style and your craft. And certainly that's the way that I started out as. I shot everything. Home movies, school projects, I shot everything. And speaking about school projects, that's actually a great way for young people to become involved in video. And just one side piece of advice that goes along with that, and I see a lot of young people do this. I did the same thing, but Diane, have you ever seen those home movies that just go on for way too long, or those those projects that just take forever and last forever and ever? That's a great way for young people to learn, or if somebody is interested in video. It's not just about which camera to choose or lighting, but it's also about the editing. So I would definitely also learn editing. And Alfred Hitchcock said something once. He said, the length of a film should be directly related to the endurance of the human bladder. And that is very true indeed. So the importance of editing is first rate. And it's something that definitely should be done, and I'm guilty of the same thing. I've had some projects that just last forever and ever, and it's kind of boring, and things are shot from the same angles all the time. You see not so much of that happening with stuff that you see in movies and TV. There's a certain pace to it, and learning how that pace is created is pretty important. Let's see, what other advice can I give? Well, secondly, books are a great resource. They will give a vast amount of information, not just about the history of why things are done the way they're done, but they will also serve as a how-to manual. And there's a certain protocol and a terminology that are helpful to know. Now, if you're going to the film school, which we talked about before, you'll learn that there. But books and trade publications are a great way to go as well. And also, do not underestimate the value of internships. If there are any young people that want to go into this, you have to be proactive. You have to network. You have to keep shooting. Because although you may have a 4.0 GPA and the newest camera on the block, without experience and without references, it's probably not going to get you as far as you want to go. So that is very important as well, just to be proactive and be a tough go-getter and do it that way. And then another good thing, actually, is to watch movies with the sound off. That allows one to really pay attention to the visuals and to learn from them. And that's a trick that they tell you in all of the film schools. Watch movies with the sound off. And when you do that, you should still be able to feel what's going on. You should be able to know the plot. You should know exactly what is going on based purely off the visuals.
Now, we may have some people going, okay, he went through all this schooling. Okay, now I'm going through the schooling, but I haven't finished yet. But when I finish, what do I first need to do? What do I need to do videography on? You know, school plays? Should I, you know, try to hit the news scene and grab, you know, the news that are happening on the Chicago streets? What do they need to do when they, you know, graduate from school to start this going?
Right. Well, it depends on specifically what they want to go into. There are certainly, if you want to go into broadcast journalism and be a camera operator for, let's say, you know, the local Channel 5 News, here in Chicago, there's a union that does that. So legally, one cannot be a camera operator for the ABC News or CBS or WGN if they're not in the union. If that's what they want to do, that is certainly a very stable and consistent position to be in. So I would encourage that if that's something that they want to go into. But I would call the local union office here in Chicago and just see what the process is in terms of union dues and how it all works and passing the test and finding someone that you can be an apprentice under. And that's the way to do that. If you want to go into independent filmmaking, that's a little bit different. At that point, you basically have to find films to shoot. Sometimes that may not pay well. I've done a few feature films as a student that didn't pay anything. But I did that because I wanted something to put on my reel, and I wanted the experience, and I wanted to network. And also, it's a lot of fun. People go into this craft because it's fun. It is a lot of hard work. Sometimes it's doing 18-hour days, nonstop for 2 weeks. But it's fun. It's fun. It's challenging. You're surrounded by great people. Some people want to go into music. They may have a roommate that's in a band. Shoot the band. Shoot at everything that you can that you're interested in. And that will allow you to gather up a resume and a demo reel that previews and showcases some of the work that you've done. When I first started out, my resume was half a page long. But one thing leads to another, and sometimes it's difficult. I'm not going to lie about this. It's very difficult. A lot of what I do is also a seasonal thing. I am extremely busy during the spring and summer. But when we have fall and winter, everything slows down, especially in terms of the production world. Things just slow down because nobody really wants to shoot anything during the winter time. It's too cold. The sun is actually in the wrong place in the sky, so the shadows are really dark and deep, and it's really tough to work with that sometimes. There's a lot that goes into that. Some people like to go into commercials. And if you want to go into commercials, there's a lot of commercial work that happens here in Chicago, not so much in production, but in editing. All of the spots for Coca-Cola and McDonald's are done here in Chicago in terms of the editing. A lot of stuff for HGTV gets done here as well. And at
love
that point,
HGTV.
Yes,
I love
absolutely.
HGTV. I love it.
it is a great station, and a lot of that content gets edited here in Chicago from start to finish. There's also a lot of commercial work for, as I said before, for Coca-Cola, for McDonald's, Sears, Macy's. They do a lot of stuff here, and if you want to go into that, I mentioned before internships. Do not underestimate the value of internships. Even if all you're doing for a month is just going around a mail room and passing out coffee and would you like more coffee, sir? That's sometimes what it takes, and it's important. You actually do learn a lot. And having the name of a big company that you've interned for means a lot. It is good to have that on the resume. And if you are attentive, if you're a go-getter, if you're proactive, that company will not only serve as a reference for you, but they may give you a job. They will give you references. They may lead you to the next step in your career. And that is all part of the challenge, but it's also all part of the adventure. Let's see, what other areas? I think I've covered that. It all depends on specifically what you want to do, there's different ways of getting there. It will take a long time. You will not get your dream job the day after you graduate film school. It's simply not going to happen. It's kind of a ladder system. You start out on the bottom of the ladder and you slowly work your way up. But what is really important is that you're actually climbing up. It's not the speed that matters, but the fact that you're actually doing it. And also have fun with it. And good things will happen. And in the start of my career, I've had this as well. There have been times that I just lost hope. Not working for months at a time, things of that nature. Just a lot of the business being drawn away from Chicago, which is where I'm based at. It is tough sometimes. It's very tough. But for me, at least, and this is pretty typical, one thing leads to another. And if you're a good person, if you're learning, if you know what you're doing, and if you meet people, if you network, that makes a huge difference, huge difference.
Well, let me brag a little bit about some of your professional experience here. You're a director of photography camera operator when weather changed history, the Weather Channel, a director of photography camera operator for PBS Network, and also the camera, director of photography camera operator for Gangland, the History Channel, which were recent productions. So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
My next question is going to be, what projects are you most proud of?
Well, probably the last ones that you mentioned. As I said before, those last three, they're pretty high-profile projects.
Mm-hmm.
The last one I completed was the When Weather Changed History show. That was a show for the Weather Channel, and I worked on a few of those. I was hired to shoot an episode from start to finish on, it's a show called Super Outbreak, and that will be on the Weather Channel, not really sure yet, possibly December, beginning of January, depending on how they structure their season. But it's a show called Super Outbreaks, about the 1974 Midwest tornado outbreak. And it's one huge F4 tornado that swept through Kentucky, and it was a complete disaster for the Midwest back in 74. So I basically shot that show. I've also shot elements of other shows for When Weather Changed History. It's a great show. I think two other bits and pieces. Sometimes a cameraman gets hired to shoot an entire show from start to finish. Sometimes a cameraman just gets hired as a local to shoot one or two interviews or to get some supplementary footage. And that all depends on the producer and on the network. Sometimes I shoot an entire show, which let's say lasts for an hour, but maybe 5 minutes came from another cameraman because they wanted to do one small interview in Florida. And instead of flying me out there with all of the gear, if that production company has a contact in Florida that's a local, it's going to be cheaper for the company to just go straight there and hire that guy, assuming that we have matching cameras and things of that nature. And then he'll just shoot that one interview, and then it all gets combined together in post. Sometimes there are reenactments that are done. Sometimes I shoot those. Sometimes an entirely different unit comes out to shoot those, and they have a separate lighting team, a separate camera team. They hire actors, and that's what we did for the tornado show. I shot everything except for the reenactments. They had their own crew for that they've worked with before on another show that pertained to tornadoes, actually. So it was just easier for them to do it that way.
Well, I mean, I love the Weather Channel, and I love watching When Weather Changed History. I think
it's
phenomenal.
A fun show.
Yeah, I'm into that weather stuff. I like that. I really like it. It's very educational for me because I always liked biology when I was in school. Not that science, biology kind of runs along the same line when you think about it in the weather, you know.
There's a lot of science in that. There's also a lot of it. It's also the human drama. That's actually part of my job, going back to the human drama. But we had some just stories expressed in that one episode that are just heart-wrenching. Just the force and power of nature is staggering. When you think about the F4, you know, just those twisters. If you've ever seen the movie movie Twister. It's a great film. It's a lot of fun. It's not quite like that, but and that for Tornado, I mean, that inflicts serious damage. And they had the one from 1974, just complete towns were just massacred. And along with that show, we also explained the warning systems of the time, how they have changed because of that event, the whole Doppler system radar. And they actually sent me to do that show. They sent me to Fort Knox, which has inside the whole Doppler thing. And so we had an engineer on camera talk about how Doppler works. And I had to climb the Doppler tower with the big camera on my shoulders. And that was just a lot of fun to be in Fort Knox. Because how often does a guy have a chance to go into Fort Knox? And that's another great part of being in this field, is you get to do so much fun traveling. There's a lot of travel involved, and I learn about things and do things that I would just not be in and know of. And that's certainly a lot of fun. It's a big challenge, but it's a lot of fun as well.
And you've also done PBS broadcast. You were the director of photography for a PBS documentary. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, sure. In 2007, I was hired to do a nationally broadcast PBS special called The Retirement Revolution. That was probably the biggest project that I have ever worked on. Most of the time when I get hired for something, I get hired for maybe 2 days or 3 days. Sometimes it's maybe a week. It took 8 days to film the Tornado show from start to finish. This PBS thing took months and months. I think I shot, over 140 hours worth of footage for this documentary. And it was about the baby boomers, the fact that over 65 million baby boomers are about to retire, and there are some issues with Social Security, Medicare. Now we're in this huge financial crisis, and so it was a feature-length two-hour documentary about the history of retirement, and also about how Social Security was born and the Depression and how everything kind of went from one thing to another, all the way to the retirees of today and what they're doing with their lives and how retirement in 2008 is different from retirement of the last generation. And the interview, the show was hosted by Paul Lazan. It was a great show and definitely the biggest thing that I worked on so far. So that was a true honor to be involved in that.
Well, we're going to talk more with Marcin about his upcoming projects. And this is going to give him time to think about this because we're going to go to a commercial spot. But does he remember what was the toughest shoot that he had? Okay, so we're going to give them time to think about that, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Have you ever wanted to compete in a pageant system that focuses in on your self-esteem and positive attributes? Have you accomplished something successful in your life and want to tell the world? Then you've come to the right place. The award-winning Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties pageant is looking for you. The national pageant will take place next July 2009 in Illinois, where women from all over the United States will vie for the coveted title. For more information, please visit the website at usbeautiespageant.com. The Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties National Pageant, celebrating the success of the modern woman. we are looking for corporate and business sponsors for the award-winning Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties National Pageant. Premium sponsor packages are available for those who would like to sponsor a beautiful pageant system that celebrates the success of the modern woman. For more information, please visit the Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties National Pageant website at www.usbeautiespageant.com.
And we are back with Marcin, the most professional videographer I have truly ever met. He is truly the work of a true professional. And we had given Marcin some time to think about this. So, do you remember what was the toughest shoot you ever had to do? And how did you get through it?
I have to think about that one because every shoot that I do presents a new set of challenges. but the toughest shoot that I've ever been to. It's true. Every time I shoot something, there's always a question of the location. That's always a big mystery to me. The production design, sometimes I'm expected to shoot an interview in someone's house. I've never met the person, I've never been to their home, and yet it's supposed to look absolutely amazing. And sometimes that happens because the layout of their house is just amazingly well suited for film. Other places, not so much. And that's when you got to get really creative and basically restructure their entire house to make one room look good on camera. But probably the most challenging thing that I've had to deal with was this spring in 2008, I had my first international gig. I was sent to Vienna, Austria to do part of a documentary about a bunch of scientists from all over the world, the US, Europe, Russia, and all of them are going to be going to Antarctica November of this year to do research, to do scientific research. It's a huge thing. NASA is involved, and it's a big thing. And so I was sent over there to do interviews, basically to get some action shots of them in Vienna, just to get a feel for the environment and to do interviews with these top-level NASA scientists and researchers from Russia and the U.S. and geologists. And Vienna, Austria is on a different power grid than the U.S., and that's something that I knew of in advance. We here in the U.S. are on a 60-hertz cycle. Europe is on a 50-hertz cycle. And, of course, the voltage is different. It's much higher in Europe than it is here in the U.S. And, of course, all of my lighting is based on the 60-hertz, 120-volt power system. Now, there are many converters, adapters, conditioners to translate, to make the film equipment that exists here in the U.S. compatible in Europe. The challenge that I faced was that I bought a few of those converters and adapters. My plan was to set up my stage area, to set up all of the lights, run them through a surge protector, and then at the end of the surge protector to put on one of those transformers and converters. And to plug that in, I flipped the button, and everything should work fine. What I didn't expect was that I should not be using any sort of surge protectors in Europe. For some reason, they do not work. It is not allowable to use a U.S. surge protector in Europe. That is something that I did not know of. So that was a huge problem, because whenever I turned on the surge protector switch, I broke the circuit. And we were shooting these interviews in a hotel. We had to call the hotel. The guy had to come down to turn the power back on, not for the whole hotel, thank God, but just for, you know, just for the area that we were in. But every time I would plug in that surge protector, the power would go out. That was a nightmare because I just couldn't figure that out until the guy told me from the hotel, oh, you can't use surge protectors. Why would you use a surge protector? I'm like, I think it's a good thing to use a surge protector. But apparently, do not use a surge protector because for some reason, it breaks the circuit or it trips the circuit. So I had to go out, and I don't speak German. So I had to find the equivalent of a Best Buy in Austria to find more of these transformer adapter converter thingies so I can use my camera, the monitor, and all of the lighting, not through a surge protector, but every one of the lights and monitors needed to have their own converter. And so that was a bit of a oops. Because, you know, here I am supposed to be interviewing all of these top-level scientists, and they actually sent me over to the UN. Huge thing for me. I never thought that I would be, my official badge said that I was a delegate for the UN. So I never life thought that I would be a delegate for the United Nations in Vienna, Austria. So that was a big deal, and it was also a big mess up because it's like, my lights were blowing up and surge protect doesn't work, and it was just a complete nightmare. But so that actually took up the entire half a day for to. Fortunately, there are people there that speak English, so that wasn't a big problem. But just trying to get there and to find out someone that can help me. To, you know, it just took a lot of time, and it was kind of expensive because the euro stuff is expensive there. In Europe, it's very expensive. But it turned out okay, and everything worked well, and I didn't have any more glitches or hitches. But it did take a considerable part of the day to fix that problem. But you live and learn. So next time I go to Europe to shoot something, I know not to bring any surge protectors.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That is wonderful. I'm so proud of you. Great job. Well,
thank you.
Tell listeners what your projects in the future are upcoming. You got some good things happening?
I have a couple things in the works. A lot of times I do a lot of the last-minute things. So people call me and then, oh, Kenya, are you available next Tuesday to do something? It's rare. The big stuff is planned months and months and months in advance. Mm-hmm. But a few small things here and there, it's pretty much, I'm kind of, you know, I'm doing this, I need your help, can you do this? And I'm either free or I'm not. I'm currently going to be working up on finishing up a promo for the American Cancer Society. It's a fundraising promo for volunteers. And that's something that I've been doing throughout the summer at various places and venues, doing interviews and getting some examples and interviews of what it means to be a volunteer for the ACS, meaning the American Cancer Society. Because they need some good volunteers for next summer, and so I'm filming this video that is going to basically give them an idea of what it's like, what they may be doing. So it's kind of like a promotional demo type thing, and that's going to be happening the first week of November, and. And then, so far, as I said before, things are kind of starting to slow down. I'm working on relaunching my website. So it's by the end of October, first week of November, I hope to have all of that done and ready, and it will have an updated demo reel and all of my contact information. That's a great way to let the word out, just who I am and what I do. Because in the old days, It was either all done by phone or I had to mail in my resume and demo reel, and that took a lot of time. For these last minute or short gigs, it's possible to just hop online and log on to YouTube or to someone's website, and all of the reels are right there and then, so they can make a decision much more quickly if I'm suited for what they would want me to do.
Well, Marcin, it's been a joy speaking with you. I can't believe the hour's up already. I mean, I've been enjoying this conversation. I hope that you come back again and let our listeners know what you've been up to, what you've done. I mean, you really are a success story and a true example of what it takes with hard work and dedication to achieve the goal in your life. And our show is about the success of men and women who have done things like you've done in your life. So when we talk about the work of a true professional, you are definitely that person. And so we're very happy that you've been on our show this evening, and that I hope you come back again.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Oh, well, it's been a pleasure, and it's been a great interview, and I really, really loved interviewing you tonight for our show. And I want to thank all of our listeners and people who've emailed me, our true listeners who come every Wednesday at 8 o'clock Central to listen to our show. We appreciate all the letters and considerations of kindness that you've given to us, and we want to welcome you back every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Central Time for A Beautiful You. We'd like to thank Marcin, who's a true professional videographer, for being on our show, and we will have Marcin on again. And next week we have Miss Georgia U.S. Beauties, Christy, and Mrs. Georgia U.S. Beauties, Courtney, to talk about what they've been doing with their title. And for now, we wish you a good evening, and we'll see you next Wednesday on For a Beautiful You. Thank you.